So this morning we're still continuing our travel with 1 Corinthians 1:5 as our guide. And what did we talk about last week in our discussion about being enriched? Remember what the big topic of last week was? Truth. It was about truth and how we can be enriched in that. And we talked about how Jesus said he was the light, is the light of the world, and that his light shining out brings to light those things that are kept in darkness, especially the things in our own lives that we try to keep hidden away from others, hidden away from ourselves, even trying to hide things from God. And remember last week, that reminder that you can't hide anything from God. As we mentioned in our prayers this morning, even the things that we don't lift up to Him in prayers vocally, He knows what's on our hearts and what's on our minds and what we're trying to keep buried in the back corner of our little vault. So we can't hide these things from God. And Jesus, His light shines on those to kind of remind us about Him, but not to make us feel guilty. It was so that He could take those burdens away from us. In our scripture last week, we also read in John 8, verses 31 and 32, Jesus says, So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in Him, If you abide in My word, you are truly My disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free from what? Sin. Those burdens that we were just talking about as well. It'll set you free from these traps. It'll set you free from obstacles in your lives that get in the way of a true and meaningful and abiding relationship with God. That's what the truth will set you free from. So I want to carry on our conversation of truth a bit. And to help us in that conversation, I'm going to go to Acts 21. And in Acts 21, I'll set the stage for you a little bit. We're going to start at verse 17, which is page 115 in the New Testament section of your pew Bibles, by the way, right? Actually, 114. Anyway, let's set the stage a little bit. What's going on here? We're talking about Paul, the Apostle Paul, this morning, and he's been gone from Jerusalem for a long time. I mean, he's been out wandering the Roman Empire, the known world, preaching, teaching, everything that Jesus said to do in Matthew 28, okay, 19 and 20. Going out into all the world. He's preaching the gospel, he's planting churches, and he is helping turn the world on its ear. And as he's going out and doing this, who is the main target of Paul's ministry? It's the Gentiles. Yeah. Because the Jews wouldn't pay attention to him, right? As a matter of fact, was it in Acts, earlier in Acts, where we read about that? He's like, you know, so I've tried. He says, I'm taking my message to the Gentiles, which was God's plan all along. I mean, let's not forget that. So he's taken his message out to the non-Jewish believers. So to non-Jews. And this raises a few ruckuses here and there too, because of now there's that whole idea of, you mean it's okay for everyone to believe this? You mean that, we talked about this a little bit last week, there are no Jews or Greeks, there are no males or females, no slaves or free men or masters. It's all just believers. And he was giving them the gospel, and they were turning to the gospel and turning to God. And then he gets to the end of his time out there, and it's time for him to come home. Time for him to come back to Jerusalem for a while. And that's where we're going to pick it up, is kind of right in the middle of one of these ruckuses that we were talking about. So Acts 21, beginning at verse 17, and it says, when we had come to Jerusalem, I'm going to stop right there real quick. You notice a word right in there? That second word, we. Who wrote the book of Acts? Okay. Who wrote it? Luke. Luke wrote Acts. And Luke was with him, is what I'm getting at here. This is firsthand information. This isn't, you know, Luke, when he wrote his book, he's like, hey, I investigated this and I wanted to put it down for you and all. But in this case right here, he was along for the ride. We're not getting secondhand information. And that is important to remember as we go through our message this morning. But he says, when he'd come to Jerusalem, I don't want to read it here because these are for me. The brothers had received us gladly. On the following day, Paul went in with us to James, us. He's still there, by the way. He says, he went in with us to James and all the elders were present. After greeting them, he related one by one of the things that God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified God. And if we stopped right there, this would be a pretty good message. What's going on here? This would be really great feeling. He says, but we go right to the next sentence and he says, and they said to him, you see, brother, how many thousands there are among the Jews who have believed in Christ. Thousands of Jewish believers is what we're talking about here. Thousands among the Jews who have believed, they are all zealous for the law, and they have been told about you that you teach all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, telling them not to circumcise their children or walk according to our customs. What then is to be done? They will certainly hear that you have come. Do therefore what we tell you. Lost my place for a second. Do therefore what we tell you. We have four men who are under a vow. Take these men and purify yourself along with them and pay their expenses so that they may shave their heads. Thus, all will know that there is nothing in what they have been told about you, but that you yourself also live in observance of the law. But as for the Gentiles who have believed, we've sent them a letter with our judgment that they should abstain from what has been sacrificed to idols and from blood and from what has been strangled and from sexual immorality. Then Paul took them in and the next day he purified himself along with them and went into the temple giving notice when the days of purification would be fulfilled and the offering presented for each one of them. And when the 7 days were almost completed, the Jews from Asia, seeing him in the temple, stirred up the whole crowd and laid hands on him, crying out, "Men of Israel, help! This is the man who is teaching everyone everywhere against the people and the law and this place. Moreover, he even brought Greeks into the temple and has defiled this holy place." For they had previously seen Trophimus, the Ephesian, with him in the city, and they supposed is a big word there, supposed that Paul had brought him into the temple. And that's where we're going to stop. There's a lot going on right here in this passage. Like I said, Paul's been away for a long time, and he gets home. And like if we stopped right here in this first passage, it's like Paul came and he told them everything that had been going on as he was going out and preaching and teaching to the Gentiles. It says that, where is it? One by one. He related one by one the things. It has that context of everything that was going on. He didn't hold anything back when he was telling them. Going on through his ministry to the Gentiles, and when they heard it, they glorified God because they were happy because the gospel was being spread and it was going like wildfire. Big things were going on, and Paul was a big part of it, and they were thankful for all of that. But there was still this tinge to the people that were in Jerusalem. It says, but this, and they said to him, we're glad to hear all that, but. That you could almost put that in there. But this is going on. We've got all these believers here in Jerusalem, thousands of them, and they've been told that you're saying that don't follow Moses. All the stuff that Moses taught us, don't worry about that. That doesn't count anymore. He says, don't follow any of our heritage. You know, throw it all away. It doesn't mean anything. And that's not what was going on at all. In other words, these people were throwing out false accusations against Paul. And these people were believers. Because it said thousands of Jewish believers, and this is what they've been taught. We're so quick to eat our own sometimes, is what it seems like. And it says, and they were all zealous for the law, because this was part of their heritage. If you grew up in a certain denomination in the church, and it's still the church, no matter which denomination, and you go to another denomination or another tradition or whatever, it's going to seem strange to you for a bit. And I couldn't help but think about, you know, all the stuff that the Jews, they have all their rituals, they have all their routines, they have all their things that they do in the temple. The cleansing that we're talking about, that they were asking Paul to go through. He had been years and years and years with the Gentiles, so he was considered ceremonially unclean. And Paul would tell you, I'm almost certain, I've been with brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm pretty good. But in the Jewish eyes, there's still that ceremonially unclean, and he wouldn't want to offend. That's why they were like, go to the temple, do the cleansing thing, show them that you're still a Jew, you still follow this, but it melds well with your newfound faith. And he didn't have a problem with that. In Scripture, in 1 Corinthians 9, Paul talks about, says, you know what, to the Jews I'm a Jew. Because, you know what, I can talk to them, I can relate to them. To the Gentiles, I can relate to them too. Because I know what they're going through, I've been with them so long. To those that are free, I'm this. In other words, he says, I am everything to every man. For what purpose? That some may be saved, he says. He's not faking any of these, by the way. He is a Jew. He says, to those under the law, I'm under the law. To those that aren't under the law, I'm not under the law. Because he's not under the law. But he understands the ones that still feel it. So he can relate to all these. I'm everything to every man. He says, they've been telling you all this, and they've been throwing these false accusations at him. And it's got the elders kind of worked up, because they're going to find out that you're back. False accusations. It's another way of saying what's going on here. Rumors. They're spreading rumors about Paul. You know, later in the scripture where it's talking about the guys that grabbed him and said, hey, this is the guy that's saying all this stuff. And he's even brought a Greek into the temple. And why did they say that? Well, they saw him with him in town, so he must have brought him into the temple too. Nothing to back it up. These are all rumors. These are all accusations. These are all things that Paul had to deal with back in the first century church, and we're still dealing with this kind of stuff today. Not necessarily within the church, but the church gets drug into these things sometimes. So this morning, as we're talking about truth overall, I want you to realize that. If you remember, back in January I had the message where we talked about don't be sucked in by the darkness. Don't fall into that trap. And I couldn't help but think of that with all the stuff that was going on just south of here. In that little town south of here, our little county seat in Salina. That has got so worked up about something, and people are so worked up about something that they don't know about, or know everything about, because of rumors, because of falses, or half-truths. And so many people want to jump on the bandwagon. And that's just the way it is, it seems like, in our life sometimes. Rumors are like cats. You know, once you let them out of the bag, good luck getting them back in. And if we have to keep this stuff in mind, and there's a lot of scripture here that backs up a lot of what we're going to be talking about this morning, and we're going to talk a lot of scripture. So there's a nasty situation going on south of here. I think most of you know what I'm talking about, and the people are all riled up. There was protesting in Salina over this stuff at the high school, and I want to tell you a story though. So the guy that started the protests and stuff, he came out and he said, "Hey, by the way, this kid's not going to be able to go on his Washington, D.C. trip with his class." So that's just adding fuel to the fire. They were already going through this stuff, and it added fuel to the fire. Well, there's scripture in there for that. Proverbs 26. I don't want that one. There's that. 1 Corinthians. Proverbs 26:21 says, "As charcoal to hot embers and wood to a fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife." You know, it's just adding fuel to that fire, and it didn't really help anything, obviously. But I got to tell you what, we got to give this guy props, too. Because the next day he comes out and he says, "Whoa." He says, one of the school officials came and said, "That ain't right." Yes. You know, he corrected him. And the guy admitted it. He says, "I was wrong." He repented on social media. This guy repented and said, "I was wrong. I am not spreading junk like this anymore." You could almost, as you're reading his comment, you could almost feel the remorse. You know, he's like, I was part of something I shouldn't have been. You know, the spreading these half-truths and these things like this. He says, "I'm calling them off. I'm calling off the protests." He says, "I am not going to post misunderstandings anymore." You could tell that something cut this guy to the core. And like I said, we got to lift this guy up and exalt him for the courage that it takes to do that. Sounds an awful lot like this. This is Job in chapter 42. This is Job speaking to God, by the way. Job says, "You told me, listen and let me do the talking. Let me ask the questions and you give the answers." You know, this is God mocking Job. And Job said, "I admit, I once lived by rumors of you." This is from the Message version, by the way. He says, "I once lived by rumors of you. Now I have it all firsthand from my own eyes and ears. I'm sorry. Forgive me," he says. "I'll never do that again, I promise. I'll never again live on crusts of hearsay or crumbs of rumors." Talk about repenting. I mean, he's repenting to God. He's like, "You know, I thought I knew about you. I thought I knew stuff about you before, but now I know you so well, I'm never going to go back the other way. I'm never going to spread these rumors. I'm never going to spread these false truths again." You can almost see Job on his face in the dirt. It takes courage to stand up and admit an error like that. The Bible has a lot of reminders for us. Leviticus 19:16, "You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people. You shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord." Proverbs is full of them. When words are many, transgression is lacking. But whoever restrains his lips is prudent. In other words, if you're one of those people that's prone to just talk and talk and talk a lot, pretty soon you're going to talk yourself into a corner. I heard it just a couple weeks ago, a guy talking about that says, he's always kind of leery about the people that just like to talk a lot, because sooner or later, sin is crouching at the door. Because especially if you're just rattling on and it's not based in fact, because now you have to remember what it was that you said. But whoever restrains his lips is prudent. Proverbs, a couple of them from chapter 11. "Whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent." I know, I have a hard time with that one. The remaining silent part, I know. "Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered." And then just so that we have something from the New Testament, let's go on down to the bottom. Romans 1:29, "They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, and deceit. They are gossips." This is Paul talking here. just so we had something from the New Testament too. So how do we prevent ourselves from falling into these traps full of gossip and rumors? You know, God's Word gives us a lot to draw on to keep us from falling into that trap. I'm not making any accusations here, folks. I'm just saying, prevent yourself from falling in there. So how do we do it? Slow down. That's the first way. Slow down. Plenty of people have plenty of opinions that they're more than willing to put out there. Yours doesn't have to be at the top. And I know I'm preaching to myself here, okay? That's just the way it is. But slow down. That slowing down has another meaning to me now too. Listening to this one pastor, when he goes out to pray, there's always this long silence before he goes and prays. And he says during that silence, he's just mentally getting in tune with who it is that he's getting ready to pray to. Instead of just starting right off with what he's ready to pray about or talk about, he's like, I'm just bringing myself into God's presence. So slow down, bring yourself into His presence. Maybe take a little advice from that guy. Slow down. Second thing is remember who you represent. Just remembering that in everything we do. Who we represent. Not just in debates like this, but everyday life. As we're taking part in any kind of debate like this, is this something that reflects God for His kingdom? Is this something that goes with Him, or is it a stumbling block between me and Him? Often, when we read through Scripture, when we read about these amazing leaders in the Bible, and when they stumble because they were away from God for a while. I mean, David is a prime example, but he's not the only one. He's not the only one. I was reminded just here recently of Elijah when, after his huge victory over all of those prophets of Baal, and he gets this letter of evil letter from the Queen Jezebel, and he's scared for his life. And if we read further, you find out that he even got rid of his traveling partner, you know. He left his disciple behind, and he was sitting by himself. And he was still praying to God, but he's like, God, just let me die. I'm done. When we're alone, we have thoughts like that. But if we remember that we're never alone because we've got God on our side, then we can have that. But get out of those lonely thoughts. But remember who we represent. We reflect Jesus, so we're supposed to act like Jesus and point to Jesus. And that should give us a little insight into how we react or not react, by the way. Maybe we don't. Maybe you don't react at all. Just leave it go. Or we fall back on our verse for this year. This, like I said, this verse has been so big to me this year. Is that in every way you are enriched in Him in all speech and all knowledge. So is this something that will be enriching to me if I take part in? For God's kingdom. That's a qualifier there. Is this something that if I take part in it, is it going to enrich others? For God's kingdom. Also a qualifier right there. Keep God's Word in our head and at our beck and call, really, then it keeps us out of a lot of trouble. In the end, you never have to take back something you didn't say. And that can make life a whole lot easier and a whole lot better and a whole lot more enriching. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the reminders of how your truth in our lives can keep us from stumbling, can keep us from those traps in life, falling into wicked schemes. Father, we thank you for your word and your reminders that we are to reflect you and reflect your glory and reflect your Son in our lives day in and day out. But we're going to stumble. We know that. And when we do, Father, would you just give us that courage to pick ourselves up and repent like this man that I was talking about this morning, like we read in your scripture in Job. Father, help us do that as well so that we're still glorifying and reflecting you and your Spirit and your presence in our lives. So, Father, we just ask for your guidance over us and wisdom imparted on each and every one of us to just shine your glory to others and be that beacon of hope, that beacon of wisdom, that beacon of peace. Father, we thank you. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.